Welcome to the Pet Cancer Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Susan Ettinger, who is the Pet Cancer Vet, a board-certified oncologist who treats dogs and cats with cancer. Dr. Sue's motto is see something, do something, so that cancer can be found early when it's still a treatable disease. The Pet Cancer Vet is a production of Pet Media, Inc. and Dr. Sue Cancer Vet, PLLC, which are solely responsible for its content. To hear more episodes of this show and other Pet Talk radio shows I co-host with top veterinarians and pet experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com. The Radio Pet Lady Network is partnered with my other enterprise, the Dog Film Festival, which celebrates the remarkable bond between dogs and their people. I will be taking the festival across the United States, including Washington, D.C., East Hampton, New York, Rochester, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Phoenix. I hope to see you in New York City at the second annual Dog Film Festival on October 15th. You can find more information at dogfilmfestival.com. The Pet Cancer Vet is brought to you by Best Pet Rx, a unique compounding pharmacy for pets in New York City that can turn any medication for dogs and cats into a custom-flavored oral paste, chewable tablet, or a liquid that your pet will actually like. And Best Pet Rx will keep trying formulations at no extra charge and offers same-day delivery in New York City and overnight delivery anywhere else so that your pet can happily take the medicine she needs to get well and stay well.
Hey, Dr. Sue, how are things in your world?
They're pretty good. And you?
Well, I don't have to have people come in my office every day with cancer. That must be a little hard.
You know, that's sort of one of the myths, and it is really hard, but you know what I love about what I do is that most pets tolerate treatment very well, and the pets don't usually have all the psychological impact that they have cancer, and they really do quite well with treatment most of the time. So it can definitely be depressing, and I have to be very, you know, conscious of that for me and my team, but overall, I pretty much love my job.
Well, that's a really lucky thing, and really lucky that at the end of an incredibly long day, all your days are incredibly long, you can be here with me, and we can invite people to join us who have had the courage to reach out and find you on social media or elsewhere, and hope to get a little bit of feedback, support, reconfirmation that they're headed in the right direction. So we have Jason and Andra in Scottsdale, Arizona, whose six-year-old boxer bulldog, Kane, was recently diagnosed with lymphoma, and it came, as to so many of us, as a complete shock. So Jason and Andra, welcome to the Pet Cancer Vet. So sorry that this is where you have to spend your evening, but at least you have the wonderful Dr. Sue to help you understand what your boy is going through.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Well, we're glad to be able to talk to you. I think one of the important things, if there's a lesson to be learned for each of us from other people's difficulties, is that you found his lymphoma on a routine vet exam. And I think that that's a really critical part of this. Had you not found it, what I want to ask Dr. Sue is, would he have died without you even knowing what was wrong? Dr. Sue, they did a routine vet exam that so many people don't do. Hey, everybody, listen up. Routine vet exam, hello. And a six-year-old large dog, he's only on the cusp of being what's considered senior, so that big senior blood panel, I assume that's where the elevated calcium levels were seen. Dr. Sue, what if these folks had a seemingly healthy dog, as so many people do, and they go, I don't need a checkup, I'm fine. Like some people's 80-year-old parents say, I'm not going to go to the doctor. They'll just find something wrong with me. So they don't go to the doctor either.
Exactly.
Right? So if an elevated calcium level lets a doctor know something is wrong, and I'd like to know how that is the case, then what if you didn't have that information? Would Kane simply have up and died one day?
Well, lymphoma is a, you know, unique cancer in a couple of ways. It's one of the most common cancers that we see in dogs and that, you know, we treat in practice. But it's unique in that it's a pretty rapidly developing cancer, and you know, your dog could be relatively normal a couple of days to weeks before and then develop lymphoma. So it's a cancer of one of our white blood cells called the lymphocyte. And when a dog gets cancer, another way that it's unique is that it doesn't start in one area like bone cancer that's going to start in one bone and then maybe spread internally to the lungs. It's a cancer of our white blood cells. So these are circulating throughout the body. So usually when we're finding it in dogs, there are big swollen lymph nodes under the jaw, in front of the shoulders, and behind the knees. And then as the cancer gets more advanced, we'll see internal involvement, often the liver and the spleen. And in most advanced cases, it'll get in the bone marrow, and you may see circulating cancer cells on blood work. But often dogs with lymphoma, and this is a really, you know, people, because I can run blood work on a dog with lymphoma, and it can be perfectly normal.
Wow.
And they can have lymphoma in every, you know, lymph node that I can feel, the liver and spleen, but in general, blood work is not a good screening test for lymphoma. You may see secondary issues, like some dogs will have anemia. Some dogs' liver values may start to get elevated, but you can also have a dog with advanced lymphoma with pretty normal blood work. So in this case, you know, blood work was a great tip-off, but it also goes that it's not just blood work, it's the vet's physical exam and that, you know, nose-to-tail evaluation of the pet and also asking the owners how the pet's doing. Half the dogs with lymphoma will feel great and have no symptoms, and the other half will start to feel tired, not eating, maybe some vomiting and diarrhea, maybe not walking, you know, going for a full walk.
Right.
So it's not going to be one specific thing, but, you know, we always say it's really an important part to find out how the dog's doing at home. So the history, as we say, the exam, and then that routine blood work are all good pieces of the puzzle.
That's a really great explanation. Andrew, when you took Kane in, was it just what you viewed as his yearly vet visit, or was there something else that had you into the vet's office?
Yeah, we actually, we just moved and, you know, we just wanted to make sure that he's okay. We actually found out from a neighbor that a prior owner of our current home had a dog who had parvo. So we wanted to bring Kane in right away just to make sure that he's up to date with his parvo shot.
That was smart.
You know, just wanted to be really precautious. We love him so much. You know, He's our baby. He sleeps in bed with us and he's just such a big part of our family. So we were just following, you know, what we thought was the right thing to do and take him in. And we got this news and it was just devastating.
Except for the news you got, as I understand it from the emails that Jason sent, was just that he had an elevated calcium level. Was that all that the vet said to you, called you up and said, oh, by the way, he's got an elevated calcium level? I mean, it wasn't devastating right away, was it?
That's true. It was the calcium came up high and everything else turned out, you know, like you said, turned out great. And the vet, you know, he spoke a little bit about the calcium and otherwise he said he's doing really good. And then just a couple days later, his lymph nodes under the in his neck in particular got very swollen. And as soon as we called the vet, you know, they had us go in immediately. I mean, they pretty much knew what it was. And it was just terrible.
It is such a shock. I mean, especially if you've just had the shock, if you will, also of moving. We're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, I'd like Dr. Sue to explain if, in fact, an elevated calcium level, since normal blood work might show up with lymphoma, what that actually means. We're going to just take a real quick break and be right back.
The Radio Pet Lady Network is supported by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals, and their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pet's dinner. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. This show is also brought to you by Canine Active, a safe, non-toxic pain reliever made in America of naturally occurring amino acids and homeopathic compounds, known to provide pain relief and improve quality of life for dogs who are in pain. The innovative formula in Canine Active gives pain relief for the canine members of the family without the side effects and risks of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Canine Active, proven safe and a proven pain reliever.
Dr. Sue, when a dog's blood work shows an elevated calcium level, I just, in sort of general ignorance, think, okay, calcium, heart, I'm thinking circulation, heart. What is calcium, what does it tell you in the blood?
So there's a whole list of things that we learn when we're going through vet school and our internship that can cause a high blood calcium. Some of the things are as simple as kidney disease can cause it. Some thyroid diseases can cause it. So Addisonian is one of the ones, which is an adrenal disease.
Yes.
Vitamin D toxicity can cause it. So, you know, you're going to go through, when you have a dog that has high calcium, you're going to go through it. Anything that's sort of damaging a bone can cause it. So some bone cancers can actually cause it, because that's where we store our calcium.
Wow.
And then the other main thing, especially in a middle-aged and older dog, is cancer. And in dogs, there's two cancers that we think about that can cause high calcium. One is lymphoma, and the other one is anal sac cancer, anal gland tumor. And the reason that it's thought that both of these cancers cause high blood calcium is they release a substance that mimics a hormone in our body that's involved in calcium regulation. So it makes the calcium levels go up. So in a dog that has a high blood calcium, especially middle-aged and older, we're usually thinking, you know, you want to do a rectal exam, and that's not something that every dog always gets on all of its routine exams, but
right.
It should. And you want to think about lymphoma as well. There will be dogs exactly like Kane where it's the high calcium that tips us off first, and then we kind of go looking for, you know, all the explanations that can cause calcium. And then sometimes it's a dog that comes to me that already has lymphoma, and we run its routine blood work, and it has the high blood calcium. If I could add one thing, because, you know, I'm sure there are people listening saying, oh, my dog had lymphoma and it didn't have high calcium. It's thought to be associated with one of the subtypes. Actually, we know it's associated with the T cell subtype of lymphoma, which tends to cause the high blood calcium. You can see it with the B subtype, but again, the T as in talk, that subtype is about 20 to 40% of dogs with lymphoma. So it's not the most common form, and I've had also – I always see exceptions to every rule. So I've had B-cell dogs that have high calcium as well, but in general, it's something we see with the T-cell type.
Now, let me just remember, if I've remembered the little ditty correctly, the two kinds of lymphoma, one is much worse than the other. Did B stand for bad?
B is better.
Oh.
No, I didn't teach you very well.
No, I'm a lousy student. Jason and Andrea, these are some of the things when we've just done a show about lymphoma particularly. There's two kinds, and some respond, one kind responds better than another to treatment. Is that right, Sue?
It is. So B cell is associated in general with higher response rates. So that means more dogs go into remission and tend to have longer first remissions. But I think it's important, and I don't like to always contradict what I say, you know, with an example that proves me wrong, but I think it's really important to know that there will be, you know, dogs and exceptions on all sides. So I just had Tank, one of my favorite patients. He had T-cell lymphoma. He had high blood calcium in the beginning, and he just relapsed in April, 26 months after his diagnosis. So his first six-month protocol got him 26 months before he relapsed, and so he's done way better than some of my B-cell dogs. And so, you know, I think it's good to know what the potential prognosis may be, but I'd never condemn a pet based on, you know, just being T-cell.
And so that's a really great explanation. 26 weeks sounds like a whole lot.
26 months. Months.
Months. Oh, my goodness.
So 2 years and 2 months before his first relapse. And in general, we tell – yeah. So – and then, you know, on the flip side, I have some dogs that have all the positive predictors, including B cell. And I tell the owner that the median survival time is 13 to 14 months. And some of those dogs will relapse during their first protocol. So – you know, it's not that we're wrong or that we don't know what we're talking about. It's just that, you know, every patient is an individual. I always say I hope that I'm wrong to the patient's advantage,
right,
so that Kane will be a statistics buster and live way longer. But I think it's good to know what the facts are. And then, you know, again, you know, just go forward knowing that information.
Well, one of the scary things that Jason and Andrew were told was that if this cancer, which was found so early and so sort of unexpectedly, were untreated, that he would have had 6 weeks to live. Is that what they told you guys?
That is what they told us. So naturally, we went searching for, you know, any treatment that could prolong his lifespan as long as he's comfortable.
Right.
And we decided on a local oncologist here who came highly recommended.
Great.
And,
yes.
Yeah, he's doing chemo. He's been doing a few sessions along with he takes prednisone twice a day in the morning and at night. He also takes a liver supplement as well.
Nice. It sounds like he's getting the full nine yards. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, Sue, I'd like to know what, you know, if there is a standard chemo that's used for this, or if there's a choice of, you know, column A or column B. And also, guys, before we take a break, do you know if he has B cell or T cell?
We do not know specifically. We believe it's T cell.
Yeah, the vet was pretty sure that it was T cell, you know, given all the indicators, but he wasn't 100%.
When we get back, Sue will tell us how one finds this out. We'll be right back.
This show is brought to you with the generous support of Nordic Naturals, omega-3 fish oil products that provide dogs and cats with the same premium quality omega-3 fish oils as for people. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses responsibly sourced, healthy wild fish and uses third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness in their oils. This show is also supported by WikiWags, male doggy diapers with a belly band that wraps around your boy dog's belly with a disposable absorbent pad. For male dogs of any size who have been peeing indoors, urine marking, excitability, incontinence, and house training issues, these are the problems WikiWags solves. WikiWags.com. That's WikiWags.com, where you'll find the relief you've been looking for.
So, Dr. Sue, if B is better, not bad, how do you know that a dog is a B or a T with lymphoma?
It's pretty easy nowadays. You just have to send it to a few labs. So your general lab that your veterinarian or, you know, my regular lab that we used can't run the B versus T, but there's a couple of labs that can do what's called advanced diagnostics, and they do staining. So I usually send my samples to Colorado State for a test called flow cytometry. So usually a pet will come in, the lymph node has already been aspirated, and it confirms lymphoma. And I tell the owners, I can restick the and get a few more cells out of the lymph node and then send it to Colorado. And then usually in about less than a week, they do this test called flow cytometry, and that's going to tell us whether the dog has B or T. You can't do the test after they've started treatment.
Uh-oh.
because you're already killing the cancer cells. So like if a dog has come in to me and has been started on prednisone, which we don't want to see before we start chemo, and the lymph nodes have gone back to normal, I'm not going to be able to run the test. Statistically speaking, Kane is most likely T cell, but the flow cytometry test is available now. You just have to mail it someplace else. You can't send it into your regular lab.
Jason or Andrew, were you offered the option by the oncologist of doing this test?
We just mentioned, we started the prednisone from just our primary vet. And then just 2 days after the diagnosis, we went in and started the chemo. So unfortunately, we didn't have the option because we were just very aggressive with the treatment right away. So, for that reason, like you mentioned, they weren't able to test.
Well, yeah. One thing that we might keep in mind is what Sue said. Sue, let's remind people about just jumping on prednisone. If you have access to an oncologist, I just think this is a fair thing to say. Don't let your everyday veterinarian decide to start treating cancer. If you have the privilege of having an oncologist, things should be done in the right order.
Yeah, so there are studies that show that prednisone can make the lymphoma less responsive to chemotherapy. So The problem is, Tracy, and this unfortunately happens all too often, is one of the main treatments for high blood calcium is prednisone. It actually lowers the calcium levels. So I'm always educating when I'm lecturing, if you think the dog has lymphoma, there are other ways to treat high blood calcium. But the first and, you know, one of the best ways that we were taught is prednisone. But again, if you're thinking it could be lymphoma, we usually try not to start prednisone if we can.
Why is a high blood calcium something that needs to be treated immediately? Does it, in fact?
It's a great question. So high blood calcium can make a dog feel unwell. It can cause muscle weakness. It can cause vomiting and diarrhea. And left untreated, you know, for a period of time can actually cause kidney failure. It makes animals drink more and pee more. And then, like I said, it can damage the kidneys. So depending on how high it is and how long it's been high, we do kind of get do try to jump on it as clinicians. But again, you also need to figure out what's causing the high blood calcium. And so balance that. Because
right.
Like I said, there's a few other medications that we can use to try to lower the blood calcium while we're trying to figure out what's if it's lymphoma or not.
So Kane's lymph nodes did not swell up for a day or two. You went home with this high blood calcium sort of scratching your heads. Like, that's funny, right? I mean, he feels fine. What does that mean? Like I'm asking now, what does that mean? At what point did your vet put you on the prednisone?
So we had went in, like Andra said, about the parvo shot and just for a routine checkup. And when we initially checked him, he was great. The vet said he was healthy. His weight was good. He was acting fine. And then 2 days later, Andra noticed the swelling on his neck area. So she rushed him back in, and initially we thought it was, the vet thought it may be an infection or something of that nature, and we had already had the blood test results with the calcium, so that's when we started, was right then, and then we got the actual blood test results for the lymphoma approximately a week or
less than that, yeah.
5 days later.
So I guess what we're talking about, and this is really holds as true for humans as animals, is if a doctor is going to treat a symptom, I'm asking this, Sue, but I also actually think I've come to this conclusion just from logic, to just treat a symptom without having the knowledge of what the underlying cause of the symptom is has to be something incredibly non-aggressive and not something which you can't turn back the clock. Am I right? Because if you're saying, oh, I'm just going to treat that calcium, I'm going to throw some prednisone at it, when we know that steroids have, you know, a dark side, if you will, in general.
Yeah, I think, you know, hindsight is 20/20, and I don't want, you know, Jason and Andra to feel bad about, you know, what we're trying to do is just have other, you know, owners maybe, you know, think about it. But it's really hard, I think, sometimes when you're faced with a high blood calcium, just to be on the other side of the table, you know, you're worried about the detrimental effects of a high blood calcium. And if a dog doesn't have big lymph nodes, that's where I see most of the, you know, they started pred with a high blood calcium.
Right.
Because
right.
it wasn't your classic lymphoma, and maybe they were thinking it was kidney disease or
right.
something else.
Right, that's why I'm asking, because it does seem as though he didn't seem to be a dog with cancer.
Right.
I mean, it didn't seem like that. The other thing I would just ask is, did your vet just inoculate him with parvo because the apartment had been lived in by a diseased dog? I mean, did you just go and get a vaccination without checking his own titer levels or what his immunity was?
No, I believe that the last time he had his parvo shot was quite a while back. So, and you know, I from what we understand, parvo is kind of airborne, and we have a big yard, and it, you know, the dog was in the yard as well. So that's what the vet had recommended, that he redo his parvo shot because it had been so long.
For most six-year-old dogs, it has been so long since they got their puppy series, and that series is for puppies. Now, if it really was a highly toxic area, I guess it's a gray area, but I just really have to put this out there, not that you did anything wrong. You were trying to protect him as much as you could, but the routine revaccination of adult dogs is just not a good idea. And you're clearly the kind of owners who, if someone had said, well, we can check his blood titer and see if he has immunity from those series of puppy shots that he got at 4 or 5 sets of them till the time he was, you know, a year, year and a half, that's probably a better idea in general. I mean, Kane,
but in this case, if there had potentially been parvo in the environment, I guess that
is it really bad? I mean, parvo is how long does it live?
I don't remember, but I do know that it involves bleach and things like that. So
yeah.
I mean, I just
so that was a good call.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think sometimes if you're not sure, you know, you're going to have to.
It's sort of like when we
dog.
Get a when they give us a tetanus shot.
Right. Right.
You've stepped on something and you don't remember when your last shot was, but you just stepped on a rusty nail or something. Well, the chemo that he's getting, is that a standard kind of chemo?
It's the CCNU low mucine.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So it one of the options we were presented with, and he's been reacting really well, but I'm sure you can talk more about that.
Yeah. So the standard protocol for most lymphomas are what we call a multi-agent CHOP protocol. And Tracy, you and I have talked about that before. So that's where they're getting multiple drugs, so a multi-agent protocol, and they cycle through the different drugs. The reason that's thought to be a better program is, or a better protocol is each drug has a different mechanism of action. So you're attacking the cancer cells from different angles, as the way I like to think of it, each week. The problem with that protocol is it is usually a 19 or 25 week protocol, and they're getting about 16 to 17 treatments during that time period. So it's pretty time intense and can be costly because they're getting so many treatments and weekly visits and blood work and things like that. Lomustine, which is an oral chemotherapy drug that's usually still administered at the office appointment after some blood work has been run, is thought to be better for T-cell. If a dog has B-cell lymphoma and you put 4 oncologists in the room and ask them what's the best protocol, they'll probably tell you a CHOP multi-agent protocol. If you put 4 of us in the room and ask us what we do for a T-cell dog, I can tell you one oncologist might say CHOP. I do a modified CHOP where I swap out one of my drugs and do lomustine. Some vets may just do single agent lomustine. So the answer is we don't know what the quote unquote best protocol is for a T-cell dog. And I think part of that is they're a little less common. So, you know, we just don't have that information. So it's a good, for a T-cell dog, their protocol would be my second favorite protocol after the multi-agent protocol.
And did you guys by any chance have health insurance, pet insurance?
We don't, no.
Okay, another just shout out to everybody. This is why when you get that dog, whether he's 6 years old or six months old, please get pet insurance. Because a good quality pet insurance, and anybody that wants to know my personal experience and a lot of research can write to me at radiopetlady@gmail.com, and I will tell you the couple of companies to avoid because they will – you'll be paying them for years, and they will not pay you when the time comes. But all this by a good company would have been covered almost completely, 90%. So that's just an important thing to know. You guys are obviously there for Kane, and whatever it takes, you're going to do it. I mean, that comes across pretty clearly. And I just hope he winds up to be the guy with the 26 months. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing, right?
It would. We're really hoping for it. We're really excited. We have a Mexico trip planned here just in a couple of weeks. We're going to take him to the beach for the
first nice.
Time.
Aww. That's great. That's great.
He's just doing so well. You know, he went into remission right away, and we just want to take advantage of it.
Yes.
And just give him a nice vacation. And so we're super excited, and I think he is. Too.
I think that's so great, Sue. I think that's a great note to end on, you know, to just take the devastating news, turn it around, go for it, whatever the treatment is, you know, have an oncologist if you're that lucky. A decision gets made, you go for it, the dog responds well, and you just try to think positively, because obviously if you're going to sit around moping and crying and saying, I'll make you a steak every day because you're dying, the dog's not going to do well with that. The dog's going to do great with a Mexican beach vacation. Come on, let's go to the beach. Life's good, you know? I think that that's probably going to really, that energy, that attitude is good for all of you. Because so much of this has to do with what your experience of this is like. I mean, his body's going to do what it's going to do, right, Sue?
It is, and I think, so worrying about how they're going to respond and if they're going to have side effects isn't going to change it. But I think a really important thing about lymphoma, because it's really overwhelming, and I don't want Jason and Andre to think, oh, did we pick the wrong protocol? Is that there are a lot of options. So if your dog is diagnosed with lymphoma or your veterinarian thinks lymphoma is a possibility, it's important to see a cancer specialist, because it's not you do nothing or you do the CHOP multi-agent five-month protocol. There's single-agent protocols that allow you to come in less often. You may just decide to do prednisone, and for some families, that's the right option. But just know that there are a whole range of options, and, you know, information is power, so it's really important to, you know, make the best decision. And no one can tell – I can't tell any family what the right decision. It's got to be something that you work together with someone and all – you know, as a team. Everybody's on
right.
Team Kane.
Team Kane it is. Well, we wish you a really good holiday. It seems like you, in a way, with the bad luck, were really lucky to find it early because of the kinds of owners that you are. You wanted to make sure he wasn't going to get this disease. You had just traveled. You want to make sure he was 100%. And you caught this probably earlier than anybody in their right mind could have caught it, because as a six-year-old, you weren't rushing to take him to the vet. You know, he's still a kind of a young man. So I think it's really fantastic that you had that kind of attention to detail and that it got you this information before you got ahead of the cancer, it would seem like. And that's a great place to be. So we wish you well. We're really glad that you got in touch. And let us know how things go. We want to keep people updated, because once we get invested in a dog and his family, we're really there for you.
Well, thank you so much. We're so happy. I do have just one last question. I'm
sure.
So sorry.
No problem.
So he is still on the five milligram prednisone in morning and night. Does that mean that that's affecting how the current version of chemotherapy
That's a great question.
No. So that's a great question, Andre. So once they're on. I also, you know, like I said, I like to tell you exceptions. One of my favorite patients, Lola, a black Labrador, no surprise, Tracy.
Right, her favorite.
But one of my favorites, she had been on prednisone for 2 weeks, and before she started chemo, the owners were away on vacation. An emergency vet put the dog on prednisone, and I told the owners that it could make the chemo less effective, and her first remission was over 4 years. So,
Wow. Again,
I don't want you to, like, you know, to worry about the couple of days of pred. But once they're on chemo, prednisone is okay. It's not going to make – it's only the dog's lymphoma cells seeing the prednisone prior to the chemo that may – make the cancer less responsive, but it's fine for Kane to stay on. Most of the time we'll try, once the calcium is normal and the lymph nodes are in remission, usually we'll try to taper them off the prednisone because of the side effects, the increased urination, drinking, muscle loss, and things like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if your cancer specialist will get Kane off the steroids at some point soon.
That's certainly something that when you get back from Mexico, you probably don't want to make a big change before traveling, but it is worth raising that issue with him, because it does have side effects. I mean, it's steroids. We call it prednisone. It sounds not so bad. We hear steroids. We think, oh, my God, Lance Armstrong and Russian athletes, and we don't know what to think, you know? So probably that's a good question to have for the oncologist. You don't just stop taking it. You have to taper off. But it also has effects on mood and on behavior, often not good ones. So it would be nice to taper him off that, since he's doing so great with the chemo anyway. So have a great trip, and when you come back, certainly ask that and see what your own oncologist says, okay?
Yes, thank you so much for your time and for your help, Lily. I really appreciate it.
Well,
thank
we
you.
Really appreciate you putting yourself through the ringer with all my questions. Why'd you do this and why'd you do that? And then Sue is the voice of reason. But I think it's important that people listening, and that's part of why we invite people to join us, is so that other people can get information and support from hearing it. You know, just question everything. There's no harm in that, and it's clearly what you guys do anyway. You want to do the best for him, and it seems like you're doing a great job. Thanks so much for being with us.